Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to come and to just study your word and get to know you better, Lord. I pray that this study is fruitful and that we can just grow in our knowledge and our faith, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I thought we would talk about a topic that I think is kind of fun and interesting, and maybe some of you have studied this before or heard of it, and maybe some of you have never heard of this before. But today I want to talk about middle knowledge. Has anyone ever heard of the term middle knowledge, or does anyone have a guess of what they think middle knowledge might mean or pertain to? Any guesses? Yes, that term is, yes, spelled like middle, M-I-D-D-L-E, yes. Middle knowledge. Any guesses? No? Okay, so middle knowledge comes from the idea in regards to God's omniscience or God knowing all things. It talks about how, obviously, God, when we say God is omniscient, we believe he knows all things. But with middle knowledge specifically, it talks to a specific like category of God's omniscience, where it talks about how God knows everything that his creation would freely do in any specific circumstance. So what that, why that's different is these are things that might not necessarily actually happen. So an example would be like, if I were rich, I would buy a Mercedes, right? Now I'm not rich, and I'm not going to buy a Mercedes, right? But God would know if I were rich, he knows if I would or would not do that. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. So we're not talking about actually God knows, as we would say, God knows Bill's thoughts. God knows what I'm doing right now. Those are different types of knowledge, whereas middle knowledge is specifically focused on what we would do in a specific circumstance. And we're saying God knows all of those. Those are known as counterfactuals. Yes, Justin.
Okay. Because we know God, we can
So that applies to it 100%, yes. So, yeah, that would go to any type of situation. God knows how you would freely choose and act in any situation. So he knows how you would have responded to the gospel if you were raised in a Muslim home. He knows if you were never put in America. He knows that if you only had one sibling, if you had three siblings, he just knows how you would react and how you would act and respond in every given circumstance. So this is the claim, at least, of what middle knowledge is. So you might say, okay, well, do we have any biblical basis for that, right? Well, before I go into that, which I do have two texts that I think we're going to go to today that I think are helpful in looking into this topic, but just thinking philosophically, if we would say, if God does know truly all things, and we can understand in a basic level of if-then statements, knowing I know that if my wife was given the option, or actually a better example, my wife would know if I was given the option to eat something very healthy or to eat pizza, she knows that I would choose pizza, right? So this is a type of knowledge, whether it's something we think of as, you know, when it comes to, we don't think of it as counterfactuals or omniscience, but it would be or seem logical that God would have this on a more perfect, all-knowing scale, if you think about it. So with that being said, I have two texts today. The first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 10 to 13. I was going to have Kathy read, but... So it's 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 10 to 13. And it says, "Then David said, 'O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then David said, 'Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will deliver you.' So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah. So he halted the expedition." So does anyone see maybe how we can see God's middle knowledge in this text? Does anyone have any thoughts to why it would point to that? Anyone? 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 10 to 13. Anyone have any thoughts on that? So how can we see God's middle knowledge in this text? What would be a good reason to infer that God has the concept of knowing what we would do freely in any circumstance here? Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of what David's doing here, right? He's appealing to God and he's saying, Lord, I have this, you know, situation. He's basically saying, I'm here with the people of Keilah. And he's saying, I've heard that Saul might come down and try to seize me and capture me. And he's basically, he has two things. He says, if I stay here, he says, will Saul come down? But then he also says, if Saul comes down and I stay here, will the people of Keilah give me over to him? And God says both times to that in the affirmative. Yes. He says, Saul will come down if you stay here, and the people of Keilah will give you up to him. But that's not what happens here, right? If you look at the very last verse there, it says, so David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. So we see that God says, yes, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen with this being the basis for it, if David stays. But we clearly see that Saul didn't come down, and they did not surrender David or give David over to Saul. So this would point to a fact that God knew something if a specific case were to happen, but it did not happen, and therefore what God said would freely happen in that specific instance did not occur. So this kind of gives us that concept of how God can see what would happen if David were to stay. But God also knows if David doesn't stay, he would not have been captured, which he was not. So that's the first text. Does anyone have any kind of thoughts or questions on that? Does that make sense? Yeah, this is me trying to scale it down because this goes into a huge deep theology that you can go into so many different avenues, but I'm really trying to stay really close to the concept of the if then. God knows if you were to do this or if you were put in this situation, he knows then what would happen or what you would freely choose. Okay? Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. And once again, this really speaks to the omniscience, the how God is all-knowing and how his mind is so amazing and so powerful that he can know every little detail and know exactly how he can work things out based off of that. And we'll go into a little bit more detail about that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not making you do it, but he knows what you're going to do before you decide.
Right. And that's a good thing to consider there, because I'll get to that point right after this text, and we can go really into depth about how that works with man and God a little bit more. But the second text is in Matthew. It's chapter 11. And this is verses 20 and 21. So Matthew 11, verses 20 to 21, it says this. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Does anyone see the concept of middle knowledge here? This is Christ speaking in this text. And he's saying woe to these specific cities. And he's saying that these mighty works have been done by God. And he's saying, if these same works were done for some other cities, and I believe it says Tyre and Sidon, it says they would have repented long ago. Does anyone see that concept there? So very clearly we see Christ saying this. He says, what I've given you as a city, another city in the same exact circumstance would have repented. But he didn't put them in that specific circumstance. But he did put these two cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, in this circumstance. And they are still refraining from repentance at this moment. So see, once again, I think these are, and there are other texts in Scripture, obviously, but these two, I think, definitely make a strong case to consider how God is explaining that he knows what would occur and how people and nations would respond given their certain specific circumstances. Okay? So, with that in mind, I'm going to ask the question then. So, why do you guys think middle knowledge would be significant or important? Can anyone think of the practical reasons to why this is important? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, this allows us to rely more on God and his knowledge and his wisdom. Yeah, I think that's really, really important. I would also say, if true, so if I'm correctly interpreting and understanding how God is working with his knowledge in these texts, if it's true, we want to be faithful to the text. We want to be faithful to Scripture, I would say, right? And also, if we are being faithful to Scripture and we are understanding it correctly, we are growing in our knowledge of who God is as his character and his nature, right? And that's one of the biggest things for us as believers is we want to continue to grow and learn about God. And that's how we grow in wisdom. The more godly and the more you continue to learn about God, the more wisdom you gain. So, if it's true then we're being faithful to Scripture and we're growing and coming to know God better. So that would be a very good practical application. But then what Justin mentioned earlier, which this is kind of where we were touching on a little bit earlier, is it allows us to better understand how God's sovereignty and human freedom relate to one another. Because sometimes, and I'm not saying that all of you have had this, but sometimes whenever I read Scripture, especially with the theology background, sometimes that I hear other theologies and denominations put forward, sometimes when you read a text and you don't know how to maybe interpret it the best, sometimes you filter that in and do eisegesis, where you sometimes put your thoughts into the text based on what you've heard. So then you're just like, oh yeah, that must be what, yeah, like that can be dangerous when you're trying to interpret and understand Scripture, right? But sometimes I've noticed that whenever I read a certain passage on God's sovereignty sometimes, and sometimes I put that too high conceptual idea of God's sovereignty into the where it almost gets Calvinistic. And I don't want to think for a moment that people are necessarily saying that God meticulously determines every single action you make. Because that's not what I don't think the biblical understanding of God's sovereignty is saying. He's not saying that he made Ashton pick and choose this. He put Ashton right here so that Ashton could not do anything else, and Ashton, he's making Ashton do this, right? That's not what we mean by God's sovereignty. Rather, instead, I think the better understanding through Scripture of God's sovereignty is this, that God knows everything, and God has all authority. And God is not going to be surprised by any of our actions, and we can't do anything that's going to shock God, going to dethrone God. God is in complete authority. He knows all things, and he knows what he's doing. And he will bring good out of these circumstances. I think that's the more aligned understanding of God's sovereignty. But then with human freedom, then, I think that Scripture very much appeals to the fact that we are called to respond in faith. We are called to choose this day who you will serve, right? We are called to repent, to believe. It seems that there seems to be a very intent focus that we have the free opportunity to respond. And it would also seem that whenever we come and relate to one another, we are doing it freely in our own accord. And I think with middle knowledge as what we've kind of focused on today, I think it really appeals to those two things, how God can know exactly how we're going to react, and he can choose to create the world in which He knows how we will respond and how we will act. And I believe this is not the view of middle knowledge or those who support middle knowledge, but I think this would be a good idea of how this is working. I think God potentially ordered the world in a way, and so those who would freely come to Him and choose Him in faith will do so. So, and I think that's kind of the world that we're living in. I believe those who would freely choose to Christ and receive His gospel are those who will come to Him, because God knew in these specific circumstances that we would come to Him. Yes. Yeah.
To know what you would do if you didn't know Him, what you will do because you do know Him.
Oh, I know. And that's why we don't want to get too caught up in the concept of thinking how God doesn't think as we do, in the sense of we think thought after thought, right? Where we think, I'm doing this, and now that I'm in this new area, now I see this, and I'm thinking that. Whereas God, being omniscient, which is so powerful to think about, God knows everything for all time, all counterfactuals, all possibilities, all numbers, all sets, everything, all of reality, all at the same time, simultaneously. God knows all the time. And that's crazy, right? But that also, I think, once again, it pulls us to worship. It pulls us to be so thankful that we have a God who knows all. And we have a God that we see how He's seeming to order the world in a way that He is offering us grace and mercy and the ability to come to know Him and worship Him greater. So I think that it's really powerful to think about how we can have this God who knows all this, but He also is choosing to invite us into a loving relationship with Him. So I think that's kind of powerful when we really think about God and His knowledge and how He can really just order things and work in the world. Does anybody have any additional thoughts or comments or questions on that? No? Okay. Well, then just for my concluding thought then, so when we're talking about middle knowledge, as I said, we're talking about it's the concept that God knows everything that His creation would freely do in any specific circumstance. So middle knowledge then offers us a biblical and a philosophical basis for understanding God's sovereignty and how it relates better to human freedom. And I think that this could be a good reminder of, so when we think about, you know, why did God do this, or why doesn't God allow that? Sometimes, you know, when we have those questions and maybe we're not understanding why a certain circumstance is happening the way we are, we can be comfortable in God's knowledge and God's sovereignty and God's power and control and know that God is working good for those who believe in Him. And we can then remember that whether we like the circumstance or we don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, we know that God's in control and God knows. So I think this should call us to faith, call us to worship, call us to trusting in God and His knowledge. And we know that at the end of the day, if you come to know and love Christ, that you're saved and you're taken care of. So, any final concluding comments? If not, we will close in prayer. Okay. Father, thank You for this time. I hope this topic was fun for some to think about. It's not something that we always talk about in church, but I think it's something that is a good reminder of how amazing You truly are, and it really does call us to just be in awe of You and to worship You and to have comfort in that, knowing that You just know all things, Lord, and You are the person we can come to for that knowledge and for that wisdom, Lord. So I pray that we will continue to seek You, continue to learn about You, and grow in our knowledge and wisdom, Lord. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.